Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. Newsmakers is a production of Wisconsin Eye. To keep programs like this free and accessible to all, please consider a charitable gift to wisi.org/donate or text WISI to 44321. This program is brought to you from Wisconsin Eye's Margaret Farrow Studio.
Hello and welcome to Newsmakers. I'm your host, Lisa Pugh. Wisconsin's regular 2024 gun deer season is now complete, but some significant changes to how the state manages its deer population are already underway for 2025. While this last season was a success by many accounts, the public is asking for some changes in the north, and DNR is hoping for some improved hunter effort in the south. Jeff Pritzel, the DNR deer program specialist, is here to break it all down for us.
It's great to be back again. Yeah, there's a lot going on in the deer world this
year. Even though the season's over, we have a lot to talk about.
Right.
So I know you've been doing interviews, you've been tallying results from this last season. How do you summarize the 2024 gun deer season?
By most accounts, the 24 season was a success, in as much as the kill was up a little bit from last year statewide. But it was a really safe gun deer season. That's always a high priority, so glad to see that play out. Normally, I'd look at the state as two different stories, north versus south. And this year, there's actually three different stories playing out in that about the northern forest and how that's going a little differently than the central part of the state and then the southern farmland. They kind of held serve in terms of their harvest this year, but it's really going in a different direction than the central farmland, which is really our, we'd call our deer factory now in terms of most of the numbers are generated in the central farmland.
So you've been talking about the importance of stabilizing license sales in Wisconsin, and they were up just a little bit from last year. Why is that stabilization important to the state?
Well, the participation rate in gun deer hunting, there's kind of two aspects to it. And one is that is our mechanism by which we manage the deer population in the state. So harvest capacity kind of runs hand in hand with participation. And we've lost over 100,000 deer hunters in the state since the turn of the century, 25 years ago almost now. And that's not unique to Wisconsin. All the eastern states are seeing the same thing. So keeping that engagement, that participation, keeps that harvest capacity as a tool for doing deer management. And then, of course, that participation generates a lot of conservation-directed revenue. And so to the degree we would be losing participation, we have to plan for both potentially loss in harvest capacity and loss in revenue. And forecasts have suggested that is going to continue. We need to be prepared for that over the next couple of decades. But we've had kind of stable participation in the last couple of years, so, and we've been talking about this, so hopefully people are thinking about that and saying, it's important for me to stay in the game. And so, to the degree if that is helping people continue to participate, we're happy to see it.
Good news on a number mm-hmm. of fronts. Were you in some ways surprised by how well this year's gun deer season went? I know early on it was like, well, let's keep our expectations low.
Yeah, well, and I kind of thought it was going to play out at a statewide level similar to last year.
Because where there was down in numbers.
Yeah, and remembering it was down last year, that we weren't going to get a full rebound. And that was in large part because we had such a late gun deer season. And that shift in the calendar usually has a negative influence on the harvest. But that was playing up against, we had a really mild winter last year, which puts more deer on the landscape. And so that in combination with, we've seen this long, slow shift in harvest behavior during the gun season that is making it a little harder to interpret really what it means, because, and then we can get into this when we talk about the difference between the zones, but in general, we've seen more deer hunters participating as archers. Over half of our deer hunters now are archers as well as gun deer hunters. So they've been deer hunting for a couple of months already. So some of that harvest is shifting outside of the 9-day gun season. It's not necessarily lost, but when we just look year after year at the gun season harvest, and we see this trend downward, some would suggest or interpret that as, well, the deer population is going down. But actually that harvest is both shifting outside of the gun harvest season, and some of the hunters are just becoming more selective in their harvest as well. So we were trying not to make too strong of a prediction going into this gun season, because frankly it's harder to predict what's going to happen.
A lot of moving parts.
Yep. Yep.
So not all of our viewers are deer hunters. So I want to ask you, why should someone who's not a hunter really pay attention or care about what happens with the deer season?
Yeah, that's a great question. As I mentioned earlier, deer hunting generates a lot of conservation revenue that goes into things like public land management that gets appreciated and used on a year-round basis by a lot of folks that just like to get out on public land and enjoy nature. To the degree we can, we've been challenged in the last couple of decades, as we've talked about, managing the deer population, not only at a biologically appropriate level for the landscape and the habitat, but there's a social carrying capacity and a tolerance for deer, especially in the southern half of the state, where higher deer populations generate conflicts, whether it be crop damage or property damage or vehicle damage on the roads. And so I get a fair number of contacts from non-hunters that do ask about, I'm experiencing negative impacts from the amount of deer on my landscape, and what are you going to do about that? And so a big part of that is, you know, hunting accomplishes both the enjoyment and the recreational pursuits and the procurement of venison for the hunters, but the non-hunters benefit from the fact that over 300,000 deer are going to be removed from the Wisconsin
keeping
landscape.
Population
right,
in check.
Right.
We've been talking about these zones. I want to share with our viewers the maps by which the DNR tracks the deer population. I know, along with the County Deer Advisory Councils, that helps to determine the hunting permits that are available in the state. Deer management units generally mirror county boundaries, and those units are organized into four management zones: the Northern Forest Zone, the Central Forest Zone, the Central Farmland Zone, and the Southern Farmland Zone. I know, although the seasonal gun harvest increased from 2023 numbers, the story wasn't the same across all of those regions. How did the harvest differ in our different zones?
Sure. So in general, the central part of the state, the Central Farm and Central Forest, enjoyed a really robust gun season. They drove the numbers. So when I say the statewide harvest is up, that's because it was up in the Central Farmland Zone, both in bucks and antlerless deer. In the Northern Forest, they saw a decline in harvest last year that got a lot of attention, both in archery and the firearm season. This year, the firearm season came in, again, just a little bit behind last year, which, again, it wasn't great last year. But the difference this year is the Northern Forest had a very strong archery harvest leading up to the gun season. So some of that harvest had already occurred. And so if you looked at their harvest in total, they're actually running up at about the five-year average. But it didn't really play out,
in the gun season.
Now, in the southern farmland, they also came in really close to last year, and close to the five-year average, but a little bit down. But they also have been struggling, I guess, in terms of their archery harvest leading up to. So there's an overall, in the southern farmland, the trend downward, whereas in the northern forest, you could say there was some recovery from that downward bad 23, but it mostly occurred in the archery season, not so much in the gun season.
Why is it important to track deer management through these zones, would you say?
I think partly because there are these different stories playing out in the state. And when we talk about statewide numbers, the local stories get lost in that large volume. And we can talk about, hundreds of thousands of deer being harvested and the kill is up. But at the zone level, there's some big differences. And then when you even get down to the management unit level, even in some of our highest harvest units, like Wapaka County, for example, the deer are unevenly distributed on the landscape. And so there's always a challenge with our delivery of the information resonating with the hunter at the level that they experience it at, because it's such a smaller area of influence. And so, if we talk about statewide numbers, it honestly doesn't mean a whole lot to any individual hunter or person. And so narrowing it down to the zone, there's trends you can see that make more sense, and then getting it down to the unit, you know, even further refines that.
You mentioned the trends. I know that you also track these five-year trends across the regions, and there were some changes in there, or there are some trends, I guess, more specifically in that southern farmland area, and then you mentioned also the northern forest regions where some of those harvest numbers have been trending down. I want to talk about the southern farmland zone first. Were those results in that southern farmland zone surprising this year, or is that a trend? Is this a new normal sort of trend there?
I think that's a good way to look at it because it has been kind of steady. And the fact that the archery harvest in the South, you know, wasn't seeing what the other parts of the state were generating suggests that there's influencers or drivers in hunter behavior, hunters' decisions to harvest, and then hunter effort that's shifting as they respond to things that are a little bit different, you know, in the southern part of the state. And the two main things are the presence of chronic waste and disease that's influencing some folks' decisions and where they're going. And then also the southern part of the state just experiences more issues of deer occurring in landscapes that essentially function as sanctuary, so they're not accessible. And that's what the challenge in the South, as we hear from a lot of folks in that non-hunting community, why are there so many deer here? And there's hunting community that would say, we'd like to help with that, but we don't have access.
In certain areas where they aren't allowed to hunt, or you mentioned CWD. There was some good news on the CWD front this year, right? A little bit of good news?
For one thing, I'm fortunate to have a dedicated group, and it's not mine, but the department has a dedicated group of staff that are really focused on it. So I get to kind of focus on the other things, and I'm not the source person for that. But from where I'm standing, I am aware that unfortunately the case for the last couple of years has been we add three or four new counties to the presence of chronic waste and disease. I haven't seen that yet this year. And so maybe
no new counties added to
right,
the list.
Yeah, we've had a few that hadn't seen it for a while that have had another one. But whereas we've been adding three or four counties each year, you know, maybe there was one out there I'm not thinking of, but so far we haven't had to add new counties to the list at the rate we've had the past couple of years.
What's your message to hunters about what's happening in the southern farmland area?
Well, the first message is keep hunting. And we do recognize that access to the resources is unevenly distributed, and it puts some hunters in an understandably frustrating position of where I have access, I'm not having this experience of a burgeoning deer population and all this opportunity you're talking about. And then there are hunters that do find themselves in a very fortunate situation where they're like, yeah, there's a bunch of deer here. And what we run up against is their capacity to harvest deer ends before the need to harvest deer, you know, is met. And so encouraging them to continue to harvest deer and find ways to distribute that venison because it's good deer management just from the aspect of what's in the best interest of the deer in those high concentration areas, but it's also good disease management to try to reduce the density of the animal
population. Do the hunters have a responsibility there, would you say?
Yeah, I think they do to the future generations of hunters, so that 20 years from now, we're not looking back and saying, had we only done this, you know, maybe we wouldn't be where we are. And we're actually in this kind of in that position now where chronic waste and disease came into the state 20 years ago. And now we are in a bit of able to do some hindsight of, hey, would we be where we are now had we not done this? So there's always that conversation, you know, going on. And the other part of it is, take CWD off the table, and again, this to the general community, I think it's important for the hunting community, which represents less than 15% of our population, that the non-hunting community views them as an asset. To yes, we don't participate, but we appreciate and understand what they're doing, because again, that long-term trend, the hunting community is going to probably become a smaller and smaller portion of the total population. So from a political clout standpoint, from decision making, they could feel threatened that, hey, we're going to lose our standing because our minority status is going to become more
it's
so.
It's in their best interest right. to take part in the deer management in this part of the state
yeah.
specifically.
Yep.
I want to talk about the northern forest region, perhaps no more political part of the state when it comes to deer hunting, specifically than that northern region. I know the harvest of antlerless deer was up from 2023 about, I think, 8.7%. But that, as we've talked about, comes after pretty dramatic decline overall in that region of 30% in 2023. Is that a new normal? Or I know you talked about archery being a little bit different up there.
Well, what's fascinating about the northern forest is, and this is something we kind of need to break away from these expectations that we've built over decades, that the deer harvest is a very specific barometer or measuring stick of what the deer population is doing. So when it's easy for people to say, oh, the deer harvest is down, that must mean the deer population is down, or vice versa. And for decades, we've used antlerless permits as the mechanism by which we try to manipulate the trend of the deer population. What we're learning and seeing over the past decade is that relationship between antlerless permit availability and its influence on the deer population is not as tight as it used to be. And so we had that down harvest last year, but we had more antlerless permits available last year, but the harvest dropped 30%. This year we decreased the permit availability, but the harvest went up. And so what we're seeing is the harvest is becoming more conditional and actually more self-correcting. So the worry that, oh, we might put too many permits on the landscape in the face of this declining hunter participation, especially in the northern forest, so we can get into the why that's happening. That's been a decade's transition where we can't get away from the reality that the amount of hunting effort, especially during the gun season, has faded in the northern forest.
Hunters aren't spending as much time up north. They're not taking as many permits.
Yeah, they're either, again, putting more of their effort into the season prior to the gun season, or they're doing their firearm hunting in other parts of the state. Mm-hmm. And it's not totally that the deer hunting opportunity has diminished in the north. It's just that the opportunities in the central part of the state have expanded beyond.
Right,
exactly. So more people are saying, I'm going to stay home for the gun season at least. And so it's just a shift in effort.
Do you have a message for hunters from the north that kind of harken back to the good old days about the great northern Wisconsin deer hunting?
Yeah, I think the message is to put it in a perspective that allows you to appreciate and embrace and remember that, but also acknowledge that that was a period in time that was actually historically unique, not the norm. And it's just human nature to remember the best and always want to be there.
The good old days.
Sure. And you could, whether it's deer hunting, whether it's baseball, whether it's even our holiday traditions, you could go like, oh, remember when we used to do it this way? And I miss that. And so deer hunting falls right into that as well. And so the idea of, well, if we just do this, it'll go back to the way it was in the 1990s, unfortunately, is probably not realistic. And so it's appreciating how it came to be that we had that great hunting at the time and the arrows that were pointing in the right direction. And the reality is that things have changed.
Things have changed.
That was a period in time that actually was the anomaly, not the norm. And we're simply not in that situation anymore. Deer hunting in the north, if you have your expectations set for what it can offer, it can still be wonderful, and there's still tens of thousands of people that do it, but there's no getting away from the fact that it's not what it used to be.
It's different.
Yeah.
I know the DNR reviews those deer management units every 3 years, and you're currently in an active review process. Can you tell us a little bit more about why a review happens?
Sure. So it happens because we do acknowledge that things change over time, and we collect data that might suggest a change would make things better for the future. But we went through a pretty significant change a decade ago where we went to these county-based units like you had mentioned earlier. And even at that time, it was recognized in the northern forest, this is going to be, it was a fork in the road. Should we keep the habitat units in the north, go to counties in the rest of the state, or should we go county statewide? The decision was to go county statewide to facilitate this development of these county advisory councils, so the lines all matched up.
Those are local people then are providing you with feedback and making some local decisions.
Right, yeah. And that was the idea, was to shift some of the recommendations to different stakeholder groups, not just the hunting community, but the hunting community along with other entities that are impacted by deer trends. But they thought what happened in the northern forest, and now we have 10 years of data and experience to recognize the challenges that those counties in the north were kind of caught between a rock and a hard place, because a lot of these northern counties have very different landscapes, different deer densities, and so they were pitted in this, well, the east side of the county versus the west side of the county.
Deer habitats don't run along county lines in a nice structure.
Right. And so they've been, those advisory councils themselves have been requesting a return to some version of habitat units for a number of years. So now we're at the position to actually, you know, do that, use the data, and we've gotten a lot of, you know, positive feedback.
So would you say, what's the major lesson learned 10 years out from that Deer Trustee report?
Like anything, there were certain things that that experience and experiment did that allowed us to look, take a fresh look at things, some things. In one sense, it was an important event to kind of break the mold of some things that have been so established for decades that we weren't going to break on our own. It caused us to take a fresh look. But in the case of any of these things, and even the Deer Trustees themselves said, some of this is going to go right, some of this is going to turn out to be a mistake, and then you have to revisit it and correct it. And about every decade, we do that. And so now we're at the point of being able to say, hey, this is the stuff that is working. But there's certain things that evidently we can see are not setting ourselves up for success. And this issue of using habitat-based units so that the counties in the north can do their antlerless permit allocation in a way that mirrors or fits better with the herd productivity of those landscapes.
Well, speaking of those proposed changes, I know you've had a public comment period, you've hosted four different open houses, and you've been sharing this preliminary map that would show how those zones would change. We're showing the map right now. It's a new map going back to the units based on habitat versus the current county-based structure in that northern forest region. On the map, you see smaller numbered units instead of those standard county boundaries in the northern zone, and we should emphasize this is just a preliminary draft map. It could still change. The public continues to have an opportunity to provide feedback. Can you talk about how this proposed change might improve things for hunters or hunting generally in the northern region?
Yeah. So one of the things, there is this recognition of we want to go back to habitat-based units, but not all the way back to. So 10 years ago, we had 40 plus units across the north. And it was recognized even back then that that's maybe too many units. So the idea here was to go back to habitat-based units, but keep about the same number of units in the north. So something more in the realm of 20-something as opposed to 40-something. So we're looking at a few data sets, historical things to kind of pair up old units so that we have larger units. And that will create better data sets that'll help us with our population modeling to track the deer population. But on the hunter's side, it'll allow, again, it'll take away that issue where in certain counties, do you favor the folks on the side of the county that is not performing well and not provide opportunity to the side of the county that has that opportunity? So in the end, it'll be the ability to back off where we feel more like we need to back off, but put opportunity on the landscape where it might have been missing over the past decade, because we've been trying to take a more conservative approach on behalf of the poorer performing side of the county. Now the other side, along with its neighboring counties, because the units will cross county lines, will be able to be in areas where we can say, yep, there's opportunity to be had in this unit, whereas this unit we should probably take a more conservative approach.
Do you think the change in the units will address some of the criticism you've been hearing about people who are unhappy with their hunting experience in the north?
It will, to a certain degree, it will more likely address as much as we hear concerns from folks that are concerned we're over-harvesting the deer, there were areas even in the north that are, like, they're saying, we see lots of deer, we can't get access to antlerless tags. We'll be able to satisfy them more. On the other end of the spectrum, just looking at the history of deer hunting culture, there will always be a portion of the deer hunting population that wants to be as conservative as possible, willing to sacrifice today for a better tomorrow with good intentions, but in the end, they might be, you know, unnecessarily suppressing opportunity. And so they'll always have that discussion and debate of what is the acceptable or allowable opportunity. For those folks that have always been in the camp of zero, we don't want any antlerless permits, that won't go away, but and we'll be able to have maybe more limited permit availability when we can respond to when we do have severe winter. Really, in the end, it's severe winters that we need to be able to respond to.
So I want to, what is the timeline for what happens next? I think a draft rule just went out, is out for public comment as we speak, right?
Right. And so we are hoping to capitalize and respond to the input we've gotten over the past year or two, that there's a strong interest in this. And so we're trying to finish this process in time for the 2025 deer season, which, even though that's a year away, we have to have everything in place next spring for the planning and the ability to do that. So we've really, hopefully, we're going to have a public hearing in January
on this draft rule, which includes the map that we just looked at.
And again, with possibly some changes with the input that we hear, but we're close to being there. But now we're at that. Okay, what are the trade-offs for certain lines? But if everything continues on track, we hope to take it to the Natural Resources Board in late winter so that we can have an approved season structure for next fall.
The decisions around hunting and natural resources in Wisconsin sometimes feel very political. They can get really heated. Why do you think that is?
I think it's just a reflection of how strong people feel about it and take it real seriously in Wisconsin. And there's always been a mantra of it'd be nice to not have politics removed from natural resources management, partly because natural resources management also usually involves rather long-term thinking, very slow processes that are going to take a decade to play out. And the changes that can happen, you know, politically faster can be up against that. But I've always felt that if we're going to embrace the fact that this is a part of the fabric of our culture strong enough, the political leverage that comes along with that is inevitable. And so you have to acknowledge you can't have one without the other and have it, this is really important to people, and then not have it be subject to, you know political conversations and outcomes, because it's always been either settled in state statute or administrative code. That's what operates what we can do.
You and I have talked previously about this. You say it really has always been political. Even back 40 years ago, you looked at articles where people were just as engaged.
Yeah. There are some things that just don't change, and you can read articles from the 1940s and 50s in Vilas County, and it reads the same as what you might see today, and it just reflects that there's still that continued, it comes from the right place. It's this strong concern and passion and desire, you know, for a better future. But sometimes those desires, you know, they may or may not match up with, you know, the realities of the influences. And having that appreciation for what has changed over time, it's always a work in progress. But although we like to think of it as being, this is a stable thing, it's a tradition, it's always been this way, and an objective look at it would just reveal that it's always been a work in progress, it always evolves, and deer hunting is a microcosm of, you know, our culture, like a lot of other things.
And keeps your job interesting.
That's for sure.
So as we come to the end of our show, remind us, deer hunting season is not over. People still have opportunities to get their deer and venison this year?
Right, especially in the farmland zones of the state where we've been challenged for a number of decades in achieving an adequate antlerless harvest that we have set up as an objective. These auxiliary seasons have been created for those opportunities. And so it's for those that perhaps weren't successful during the 9-day, they have another chance. But even those that were, again, the folks that have access to those deer, even if you've met your personal venison needs, think about your community as a whole, and both in terms of providing venison and some deer population reduction where it's needed.
Statewide antlerless only 4-day hunt coming up December 12th through the 15th. Antlerless only holiday hunt in select farmland zones December 24th through January 1st. Anything else we should remember?
No, I think that's it. But again, just remember to embrace the opportunity to be outside. And there's a lot of deer hunting experience that doesn't result in a deer in the freezer, but there's still a lot of great memories to be had and time shared with family and friends. And in the end, we're just trying to provide those opportunities.
And our viewers can watch all DNR public comment opportunities on this map and other DNR conversations on wisci.org. Thank you so much, Jeff, for joining us today.
My pleasure.
And thank you to the viewers of Newsmakers. Be sure to tune in again as we highlight the issues and sit down with the decision makers who make a difference for all of us.
Nicolet Bank is honored to support all who strive to make communities great. You have been watching a production of Wisconsin Eye, your unfiltered window into legislative deliberations and public policy programming, where our mission is to provide Wisconsinites an opportunity to access the legislative process and connect with conversations that inform our citizenry. Please consider supporting our mission, and thank you for watching. Wisconsin Eye, policy made public.